वासुदेवाय।
यह वे रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 22। बंदी अक्षय कैतवाय चौर्येर बंदी अक्षय कैतवाय चौर्येर गर्हिता मृत्तिम आस्तिता गर्हिता मृत्तिम आस्तिता बिभ्रत कुटुंबम असुचिर बिभ्रत कुटुंबम असुचिर यातयाम आसदेहिनः यातयाम आसदेहिनः बंदी अक्षय कैतवैश्चौर्येर गृहीता मृत्तिम आस्तिता बिभ्रत कुटुंबम असुचिर यातयाम आसदेहिनः। Word to word meaning translation by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bandi Akshay, by unnecessarily arresting someone. So in that Bandi is arresting. Kaitavai, by cheating in gambling or throwing dice. By cheating in gambling or throwing dice. Chauryai, by committing theft. Garhitam, condemned. Vrittim, professions. Astita, who has undertaken because of association with a prostitute. Bibrahat, maintaining kutumbam, his dependent wife and children. Asuchiham, being most sinful. So suchi and asuchi, so you negate it. Yatayam asam, he gave trouble. Yatayam is giving trouble. Dehina, to other living entities. Translation by His Divine Grace, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This fallen Brahmana, Ajamila, gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. So, troubling others, he has done it, one, by arresting them, two, by cheating them in gambling, and or by directly plundering them. So cheating them in gambling and plundering them, both are equated. So whether you cheat somebody or you plunder somebody or you engage somebody in gambling, both are similar. This was the way he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. Purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This verse indicates how degraded one becomes simply by indulging in illicit sex with a prostitute. Illicit sex is not possible with a chaste or aristocratic woman, but only with unchaste shudras. The more society allows prostitution and illicit sex, the more impetus it gives to cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards, and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all the disciples in our Krishna conscious movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life and which is followed by meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication, one after the other. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna. Since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna-conscious person. If illicit sex is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will be condemned, for it will be full of rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. Wow, what a powerful verse. So the root cause is illicit sex, and with illicit sex, everything is falling apart. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This fallen Brahmana, Ajamila, gave trouble to others by arresting them, by cheating them in gambling, or by directly plundering them. This way, he earned his livelihood and maintained his wife and children. So to just maintain a family, how degraded a person could become in his consciousness and in the activities. That's what we find in Ajamil. And it's not the story of Ajamil we find is so rampant in the current society. Whether it's in the Eastern world or in the Western world, the same story is repeating. In US, you can see that about 10 casinos, gambling centers are there. And it is said that in the night time, if there's any city which is visible from space, there's only one city in America which is visible, and that city is Las Vegas. And so that city is the hellish city, as it was described in the previous chapter. Somebody committing grave sins is pushed into such an environment, and where they feel that they are enjoying their life, but it's such a degraded environment that you can't see the difference between day and night. The moment you enter into that casino, you are completely within a shell, and in that shell you feel you seem to be enjoying, but actually it is degrading somebody's consciousness to the extent that you lose the difference between what is good and what is bad. Prabhupada gives here a wonderful example, that which is the beginning. Krishna conscious movement is to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life, and which is followed by meat eating, gambling and intoxication one after the other. Now this part tells me the storyline, not storyline, actually this is with regard to my professor where I did my graduation. He was typically born in a Brahmin family, and we were all on South India tour as part of our curriculum in our pre-final, that's in fourth year of engineering. We were all required to go to a tour of South India and visit various industries as a practical experience and see how the industries work, because the first 4 years you are typically learning theoretical knowledge and bit of practicals in the workshop, but the actual industry, how it works, it's not visible to you unless you visit the site. So that was part of her learning, and we were taken by this professor. I won't take the name, but he took the he was the professor who took us on South India tour. And we know that he was born in a Brahmin family, and he was eating paan. And typically in paan, there is an item called zarda. I do not know how many of you know zarda. Yeah, it's a tobacco, and it's an intoxicant. Actually, when somebody is eating zarda paan, people who are around such a person, you feel what a beautiful smell is coming. And so obviously the person who is himself eating, you can see the so-called ecstasy the person is experiencing. So I asked him, I don't know what made me to ask, but I asked him, "Sir, how is that you are born in a Brahmin family?" Because that was the background I was coming from, because I'm also born in a Brahmin family, so-called. And I said, "How is it, sir, you are eating paan with zarda? Because we are used to eating what is called meetha paan or a sweet paan, where in a marriage you take heavy food and then you are given with what is called gulkand. I do not know how many of you know gulkand. Gulkand is a sweet prepared with rose petals. So that's added to the betel leaf and we take it. That's it. So when I asked him, he said, "Shekhar, it's not just eating zarda paan. Somebody told me that I have to stop eating zarda paan, and how do I..." So there were steps involved. He was first eating meat. Somehow he came in contact with eating meat and he would eat meat. And somebody told him that meeting it is not good for you. You are born in a Brahmin family. Better take to less evil. So therefore, they said, instead of eating meat, you take to smoking. That is better than eating meat. So he said, "Okay, let me stop eating meat." And then he started smoking once in a while. I would not smoke regularly, but once in a while. But then his family members and others said, "That's also not good. You should stop smoking." Then they said, "You take just simple betel leaf because you are habituated to have something in the mouth. So take betel leaf." It started with simple betel leaf, and then he came with the addiction of adding zarda. And then later on, he came in contact with some others, and then he started taking once in a while wine. And he said, "Shekhar, now today I become so much conditioned that I eat meat, I smoke, I take alcohol, and I eat zarda paan." So the sequence, you can see somewhat what Srila Prabhupada is saying, somebody who is habituated to a particular aspect of illicit sex in this case, then when you are committing that sin, you feel, you know, in Hindi we say chalta hai. It's okay. You are committing sin, and what's a big deal if you involve yourself in other aspects as well? So here the person is, anyway I'm a Brahmin, but I've spoiled that background. I'm eating meat, so I can take alcohol, and then to satisfy the tongue I can eat Zarda Pan. And obviously he said, I don't sleep at anyone's place. I sleep wherever I go. In the evening I have to come back and sleep in my own house. So well, I did not ask him, what does that mean? Then it must be that what we know is being said, that he can't restrain himself from his partner. So this illicit sex is done at two different levels. One, to visit somebody, a prostitute, and then have sex. And this we find even when Lord Krishna is visiting Dwaraka after the Kurukshetra war. He had spent some time in Hastinapur, and as he was returning back to Dwaraka, when he blows his conch shell, all the citizens were so happy, and everyone throngs the streets and comes out to receive Lord, because they were missing Lord Krishna for fairly a long time, months together. And in that we find even prostitutes, they come to receive Lord Krishna. And if I remember well, Srila Prabhupada in his commentary, he says that just to maintain the sanity of the society, that the prostitutes were there. Because no matter what we do, there are some conditioned souls who want that sort of an experience outside their family life, and to see that they do not chase chaste women, an option is made available to them, and therefore they take to that. So we find, so that is one level of illicit sex, and this is, it's prevalent even in a Vedic country like India. There was, we have a well-known factory in Hyderabad. It's a public sector factory. And nearby that place, there's a big hotel. And that hotel is always full. And once, for some reason, that hotel was raided by the police. And to their surprise, all the bedrooms were occupied in the lunchtime, and they were all employees of that factory, the men and the women. So what does it all this mean? That a person takes to these illicit activities or activities against the scriptural injunction out of ignorance, the lack of knowledge that we are not the body, but we are the spirit soul. Without having that proper knowledge, without having that training and purification, in a moment of weakness, person succumbs to such activities. And here we find Ajamil, born in a Brahmin family, takes to activities which are against Vedic injunction. And this, we are talking of Ajamil not of Kali Yuga, but Ajamil of a Yuga where piety was much more prevalent. But even then, when he saw a lady or a maidservant or a prostitute, he was attracted to her, and in the process he marries her, and then to maintain her, because the prostitute had lavish desires, it's not an ordinary person, but had a lot of desires, and to satisfy those desires, his regular income was not sufficient, and therefore he resorted to activities of cheating, arresting, and gambling, and so on. This I found interesting in the sense that one of our students, he was a matured age student, and he said, normally when a mature age student comes to the class, we tend to talk to the person at a personal level to find out why is that at this age, I think he was 40 plus, and at this age he has come to uni for studies. So I was curious to know why has he come for studies. And he said, Chandra, I was earning a lot of money. Actually, I was earning up to $20,000 per month in my business. And I earned that big money for fairly a number of years. But I was attracted to my wife. And every month, though I was earning that big money, all that money she spent it away. Not a single dollar was left with him. Every month he was earning that huge amount of money, but it was being spent away. And when he lost his business, she left him. All the years when he was earning money, she was with him, but when his business collapsed, he was not able to earn that big money. He was collapsed in the sense that he said, I was still running the business, but I was not able to earn that much of amount to satisfy my wife's requirements. And therefore, I entered into debts and my business collapsed. With that, my wife walked out of the family. And so therefore, for me to start from the scratch, I was told that IT is an area where there is a possibility of getting a job, and therefore I've come to uni for studies now. So the same situation here, to maintain a partner's requirements, the person is involved in activities like cheating, gambling, and plundering. We find something somewhat similar storyline in Ramayana, where Valmiki, before he became Valmiki, what was his name? Anyone remembers? Before he became Valmiki, Ratnakar, Dasaratnakar. So Dasaratnakar was killing animals. And the way he was killing animals is to allow them to die slowly. You cut a part of the body, the blood comes slowly, and the bird or the animal is in agony, in pain. And with and that gives him pleasure. And with that, he used to maintain his family. Fortunate was he that in his life, Narada Mahamuni walks into his life and he says that, why are you doing this? And you are incurring sin. And do you think that to maintain your family, because Dasaratnakar says that to maintain my family, I'm doing this. And then Radha, do you think that your family members are going to take the sin you are incurring? He says, of course, I'm doing for their sake and they will be taking part of my sin. Narada Mahamuni says, okay, go and find out from your family members. And then when he finds from his family members, his wife says, no, it is your responsibility to maintain us, and how you maintain us, it's up to you. And then he talks to his children. Children also say, no, it's you are committing sin, you have to bear it. It's not us. So that makes us realize that what he is doing is incorrect. And then, as we all know, the transformation takes place with the mercy of Sri Narada Mahamuni. And this we can apply to the current society as well, where people are become so corrupt. Corrupt for what? To maintain the family. I can give scores of examples coming from Indian subcontinent, because India is known for corruption. And I can give my own cousin's example, who is my first cousin, that is my father's sister's son. He now is of course retired. He was an agriculture officer in Hyderabad, and he earned left, right, center money. And when I asked him, Venkat, why do you do this? He said, Shekhar, listen, I'm an agriculture officer. Every politician comes and says, you organize a pandal for me and invite everyone in the village. Because agriculture officer, his duty is to give license to the shops for fertilizer, for seeds and other related items for farming. And these politicians, MLA and ministers, they would come to his area of influence and say, you organize a pandal program, invite all the villagers and sumptuously you feed them. This is my, is not my job, but if I don't do that, I'll be transferred from town to town. So therefore I do this job. And when I arrange the pandal program, I have to collect money. Because while issuing the license, I tell them, well, you have to give the money, otherwise I can't give you the license. So when I'm getting that money, a part of it I use it for myself, and a part of it I spend it to organize the pandal program. So it started off organizing the pandal program, but as a byproduct of that, he became, he said, any case I'm doing it for others, so why not little bit for myself? So he would do for myself. And remember, he's not an ordinary person, because he has inherited Lord Balaji deities from his grandfather, great-grandfather, maternal side. And it's 100 years, more than 100 years old deities. Every day morning, 4:30, Mangalarti, he gets up. He nicely worships Lord Balaji. He himself prepares bhoga and offers the Lord. He takes only that Mahaprasad and goes to his office. And yet his consciousness is, when I'm doing for someone else, why not do a little bit for myself? And so therefore, why it is happening? He is doing that wonderfully, yes, taking care of deities. Then after coming back from office, he requests them to rest also. But basically, he doesn't have the knowledge of Gita, nor the knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, his activities are in silos. Okay, worship is in one compartment. Office work is another compartment. These two are not interrelated. So whatever transformation or whatever consciousness he is having at Mangalarti time, he is not able to carry forward during the daytime and refuse to follow the injection of his own mind or the circumstances in which he is placed, and therefore he has succumbed to it. As we find here, Ajamil, he also has succumbed to the circumstances, losing his discretionary power, losing his understanding that he was born in a Brahmin family. He was trained by his father, but he fell down because of not having proper knowledge that he is Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that I am part and parcel of the Lord. And the true maintainer is the Lord. It's not the, you find there's an immediate cause, but the actual remote root cause is the Supreme Lord. No matter in what situation I am in, It's only the Lord who is maintaining. The intermediates are only simple instruments. And these instruments can be turned if I'm connected properly to the Supreme Lord through parampara, through a spiritual master. So the more society allows prostitution, illicit sake, the more impetus it gives to cheaters, thieves, plunderers, drunkards and gamblers. Therefore, we first advise all the disciples in our Krishna conscious movement to avoid illicit sex, which is the beginning of all abominable life and which is followed by meat-eating, gambling and intoxication one after the other. It's all in our mind. Once you decide, you become so free from that activity. And I can give my own experience. It was 1998, first time, month of August, I picked up the beads to chant 16 rounds. Till then, one, two. But that was a time, for some reason, I picked up the beads and chanted first time 16 rounds. I was flying from India to Melbourne, and in the aircraft, I chanted my first 16 rounds. And then, since then, I have not dropped my beads. Then came in year 2001. We all, as a family, we all went to Vrindavan. And then we returned back from Vrindavan. And I should not say, well, I hope Nirmala is not listening to me now. And there was a difference of opinion. And I said, for this, why am I indulging in this sort of an activity? So year 2001, after that quarrel with Nirmala Krishna, I said, no more, I'm not going to touch you. And that gave me such a freedom in consciousness that I never looked back. So she sleeps some room, I sleep in another room. She's on some floor, I'm on some floor. And it's only people who experience this freedom understand the beauty of that freedom. Till then, we are locked up. And in that locked up situation, a man is willing to commit all these activities involving in meat eating, involving in gambling, involving in intoxication. And we say that I'm compelled to take it, or they use the word I'm impelled to take it. I'm forced from within. And I think I must have said to you once in a previous class that one of our Bhakti Vruksha members, she is a non-vegetarian, meat eater, but later on became, because she has become Krishna conscious, now she has taken shelter of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, she has stopped eating meat. But she said, Prabhu, you have no idea the taste of meat. She was working in Tirupati, the holy dham of Lord Balaji. So she said that as friends, all of us would have darshan of Lord Balaji. How? By climbing those 2,500 steps. Climb up the steps, have darshan of Lord Balaji, take water, Mahaprasad, and we run back to Tirupati, because that is Egu Tirupati, Tirumala, and then the down Tirupati. We run back and we have our favorite restaurant there, and the first thing we do is we order the non-waste item and then we take it. It's so good, because you are born in a vegetarian family, you have no idea what it is. Therefore, you are sitting on Vyasasana and telling us, don't eat meat. How do you know that the taste? So that's what she said. But we have a colleague in my office I used to talk to him regularly, and he is a person from Puducherry or Pondicherry, and he would say, Chandra, I wouldn't be coming for eating my plate unless that is available on my plate. But today, the very sight, very name of hearing the meat, he shivers. He says, how did I spend my life previously? And I used to say that, ye to khane ka gai ka hai, mera kaam nahi. This is only meant for cows, it's not for human beings like me. Unless you serve that, I can't eat. But with the change in consciousness, receiving constant input from me and from other sources, there's such a change in his attitude, understanding, that today he has taken Diksha. Of course, he has taken Diksha not in our Sampradaya, but he has taken Diksha in another Sampradaya and sticks to that Sampradaya, Vaishnava Sampradaya, bona fide Sampradaya from South India, and he serves his spiritual master very well. He gives charity and gives charity to our temple as well, a lot of charity to our temple. But what it means is that unless we come in contact with the right person by the arrangement of the Lord, so kon bhagyavan jeev, unless you are that fortunate soul, will continue to indulge in these activities, especially meat eating, gambling and intoxication, because the law permits it. The law doesn't say that it is not right. Law says that it is fine. You have the center, licenses are there, you can walk in, you can indulge yourself, there's nothing wrong in it. Whether it's prostitution, whether it is meat eating, whether it is gambling, whether intoxication, all of them are licensed. All of them are open for anyone. You can walk in and so-called indulge your sensual pleasures. So when can a person know that these activities are not good for us and that this is going to entangle us life after life? The Bhagavad Gita 13.22, Gunasangasya, that in contact with the sense objects, you are entangled. We think that we can become free. It is like that insect which sits on the pitcher plant. It goes to the pitcher plant thinking that there is food for it, there's some sensual pleasure, but the moment the insect sits on the pitcher plant, the pitcher plant, it starts closing its flower and then digest the insect. And that cycle continues. So similarly, when a person is involved in, comes in contact with the sense objects, then he falls into the trap, and that's the trap we have been, according to Vedic understanding, for the last over 50 years of not our life, but Brahma's life. Somehow, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, our course has suddenly changed. And changed for so good that when we look back, turn back into our past, we wonder how were we involved in those activities. But people still associate us with the past activities because they do not understand what a transformation is and what the transformation takes place. Literally, in this life itself, that body has died because that consciousness has died, that has disappeared. It's in this life itself we have the new body. Otherwise, we will be involving ourselves in the same activities. The fact that we are not involving in these activities, it means that that psycho-physical body has died, has disappeared. And we have got a new body, new consciousness, thanks to Prabhupada and disciples and the congregation and the association of devotees, that we are free. And Krishna says that if for any reason, because of the past bad habits, somehow somebody falls down, but Krishna says that because he is clinging to my lotus feet, he'll come back to his normal consciousness sooner than later. And therefore such a person should be respected. Which is that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Apicheta Sudurachara. So that's the verse which is, it gives us the strength to walk on this path, to tread on this path. Of course, restraint is very difficult, but it is quite possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna, since all these abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a Krishna conscious person. Yes, it is difficult. Of course, it's very difficult because we are trapped in material nature. And I'm born with a swabhav, with a nature, carrying that baggage from so many lifetimes. And then prabhav, this time or this life's nurturing and nature. So therefore the prabhav and the swabhav makes the soul trapped in this body to go nuts. It drives the person in various directions. And those directions are not really favorable for the trapped soul to break the cycle of Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. But fortunate is the person who comes in contact with a devotee. And therefore, we should all be grateful to the devotee who has introduced us to Krishna consciousness. And here once again I can give my own, I normally tend to give my own examples because they are very authentic. I don't have to say whether somebody has done this or somebody has not done it. And one, it makes me feel humble that how shameful I was in my life before, and equally how shameful I am still continuing, but the hope that I'll change inch by inch in the future with the association of devotees, blessings of Gurudev, blessings of Srila Prabhupada and Parampara. In Hyderabad, if someone has visited Radha Madan Mohan temple, it's on the street of what is called Abbots. It's the most expensive area of Hyderabad. It's a commercial area. So when you drive on that road, there is on the main road, now of course the gate they have changed to Radha Madan Mohan temple, but the you take the left turn from the main road itself, you have Radha Madan Mohan, you can enter the Radha Madan Mohan temple. And exactly opposite to that, there is a lane which would take to the school where Abhishek was studying, my son, and then Sweta, the other school called Rosary Convent. Till I came to Melbourne, I never took that left turn. Right on the main road, I only have to stop the vehicle on the main road and then enter the gate of Radha Madan Mohan temple. But every day morning, I would take Sweta and Abhishek on my scooter, drop them to take the right turn. So take the right turn, drop son in Little Flower School, and they'll go a little further, drop daughter in Rosary Convent and come back home, then take the vehicle and go to my office. Never took the left turn. If I had taken left turn, I wouldn't have come to Melbourne. Because Radha Madan Mohan temple, Radha Madan Mohan deities are so beautiful, equal as beautiful as Radha Vallabha, and they are 5.5 feet in height or 6 feet in height, and those deities also were personally installed, invited by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. So therefore, when I'm there in Hyderabad, I'm there in the temple always. So beautiful deities, but I never took the left turn. It was always the right turn. And I'm still a life member of the temple, but never took the left turn. Okay, they wanted money, I gave that money, I became a life member, but I never entered the temple. It's only on Janmashtami day, or other festivals also, they send a letter. You have a special entry into the temple, bypassing the main queue, so you can come and take prasadam. Okay, Janmashtami, ek din to ja sakte hain. So that's how one day, Janmashtami, you go there and take that prasadam and come back. But never associated with the devotees, never listen to lectures. And if you take my journey before, I think I must have said, it must be boring to everyone, but 1975 or 76, I attended Srila Prabhupada's lecture on Pandal in Hyderabad. I had darshan of Srila Prabhupada. So 1976, I think 75, 76, I had darshan of Srila Prabhupada. Such a dull person, no change in consciousness. Became life member of Radha Madan Mohan temple, no change in consciousness, but Krishna protected me because I had two desires. One, I should go abroad. I don't know why, because this is the fad of engineering students in those days, that every engineering student, he never thinks of working locally. He says, I should go to US or to other Western countries. So that was one craze. Two, that I wanted to chant, I wanted to do japa, but I did not know what to do. Because I've seen my aunts doing japa every day. They would go early morning to River Godavari, take their bath, because I come from that holy place called Manthini, on the bank of River Godavari. So they would go there, take bath, carry the water on the head. With that water, they would cook food, offer it to deities, and then they sit for japa till afternoon, 3 o'clock or 3:30, and at the time after the japa, they would take their prasadam. But for some reason, I never asked them, what is that you are chanting? And I feel it was good that I did not ask them. Only I nurtured that desire in my consciousness, because if I'd asked them, possibly they would have said something which was not Krishna conscious. But I had that desire, so that inspiration to do japa came from them, but I never asked them. So these two thoughts were my strong desires, and when an opportunity came, I came here. But my first desire disappeared the moment I took off flight and I was in Singapore. One day we were halted there. I went out to see Singapore. I said, is this what is the Western country? Is this for this reason that I am leaving India? I just don't want to be here. I want to return back. So that was the first desire disappeared. And then we landed in Melbourne. I saw Melbourne. I said, nah, this is not a place for me. I'm not going to stay here. I'm returning back. This is no way better than from where I hail from. I'm going back to Hyderabad. But we were in Bentley at that time, and Ravi Ganeshan Prabhu, Gauri Mataji, then Surya Gopal, so they were very close to us. We didn't even have the car. They said, come on, we'll take you something. We come. So they would take my son and daughter Abhishek and Sweta along with Surya to temple, and Nirmala and myself, we were come by train. And that's how slowly our journey on Krishna consciousness started. And of course, Krishna willing, blessings of devotees, Guru Maharaj, we hope we are not going to hop out of the train of Krishna consciousness and we move only forward. So therefore it is possible if one fully surrenders to Krishna, and this is possible by the mercy of devotees and mercy of your Gurudev, whether Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, so that all abominable habits gradually become distasteful for a person taking on this journey, Krishna conscious journey. If illicit, however, sorry, my boss is calling. If illicit is allowed to increase in a society, however, the entire society will be condemned, for it will be full of rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. And this is the status of our societies today, worldwide. Whether it's an affluent country like US, or an affluent country like Australia, or a poor country like India, or poorest countries like some of the countries in African continent. It doesn't matter, because people are involved in illicit sex or in an activity which is not permitted according to the scriptures, not according to the law. Law may permit it, but it's against the law of the Lord, because we always say that when we buy an equipment, we are given a manual. So similarly, when we are born here, we have a manual, and that manual is the Vedic scripture. If according to that manual, participating in illicit sex is the most abominable activity, and when that is permitted, then the entire society is condemned, and therefore we have rogues, thieves, cheaters, and so forth. Whether it's the president of US or an ordinary person, everyone is involved in these activities only. So the only panacea, the only solace is to become Krishna consciousness. And not only that we become Krishna conscious, but we should facilitate others to become Krishna conscious. And if we do not allow others to become Krishna conscious, I would say that we are committing the biggest crime as grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. On this note, I'll share another, I won't say a story, but the reality. This goes back to 1984, 85, 86, that period. My father was a professor in the university, but later on he resigned from that job and took to homeopathy. So he became a full-time homeopathy doctor. And our clinic, or my father's clinic, was such a big clinic. Scores of patients used to come. And I still very clearly remember two patients. One was our neighbor. His name, wonderful name, Krishna Rao. He used to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but he never told us to chant Hare Krishna. I'm taking 1983-84, that period. And he used to spend hours together with my father, because he was just neighbor. He knew when my father was free in the clinic, he would come and chit-chat with my father. But he never said to my father, or he never said to us, please chant Hare Krishna. So that's the greatest crime, or if you want me to, it's an emotional statement, but that was the greatest mistake Mr. Krishna Rao has committed against the family, because he himself was chanting, but he never said to us that you should chant. That was one family. And there was another family, she's a doctor herself, but she used to take medicine from my father. And she was the wife of Banaras Hindu University Vice Chancellor in those days. And they were the congregation members of Radha Madan Mohan Temple. They were so much involved in Krishna consciousness, so much so that they are from Bengal, but their daughter married an American devotee and moved to US. So to that extent, that family was involved in Krishna consciousness, but never did they say to us, please chant Hare Krishna, please take prasadam, please read Bhagavad Gita, or you come with us to temple, we'll take you to temple. They never said once. Had they said to us, once again I repeat, I may not have come to Melbourne temple. I would be staying in Hyderabad because this is such a wonderful temple. So therefore, we must all preach, we must all share Krishna consciousness to the extent possible within our means, and maybe stretch ourselves a little bit more so that the rubber band can still remain within the elastic limit. We do not enter into the plastic limit. The plastic limit, it breaks. But at least so long we can stretch and share Krishna consciousness, that the greatest gift we can share with our fellow human beings, whether they are our friends, whether they are relatives, whether they are unknown person, doesn't matter. But this is the greatest gift on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of the Parampara, on behalf of Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, we can give it to others. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any comment, any question? Hare Krishna.
Just regarding that, the comment about the prostitutes in Hastinapur, I have heard from Hari Sundar, Hari Parshapur, who is translating Hari Shari Bhumi's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam and direction of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Maharaj, that the reference there to the prostitutes of Hastinapur, they are not to be misunderstood by the low standard ladies of the present time.
That's true.
They are more of
Yeah, they are not degraded, nor does Bhagavatam say that the citizens of Hastinapur were going to them. That part is not mentioned. So therefore, it is only our mental concoction, if we have to say. But what is important is that it's not the profession what matters. What matters is the holy name. The holy name has the power to elevate the consciousness of a person who is involved in such a degraded profession. Because we consider prostitution as one of the most degraded professions. And if a person is involved even in such a profession, the holy name has the transcendental power to pull that person out of that consciousness and give them the highest status, which we find in Chintamani, who became the spiritual master of Belomangal Thakur. So therefore, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and share with one and everyone, with whomever you come in contact. Share that. That's what we find yesterday. His glories, Ananda Prabhu was saying, he was first initiated into Krishna consciousness by just receiving an invitation card for Sunday feast. And on that card, it was Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that initiated a person into Krishna consciousness. What a beautiful journey. So therefore, it becomes our responsibility as great grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada to facilitate this holy consciousness to be spread, to be shared with others. Thank you, Prabhu. Any other comment or question? Okay then, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.